Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Mac Dominic is here to help us survive the world around us. Prophecy in the News Live is coming to the Tri-Cities area, Friday and Saturday, March 8th and 9th, featuring Bill Federer, Greg Patton, Dr. Kenneth Hill, Micah Van Hus, Larry Stamm, Josh Davis, Mark Lindstedt, and Clayton Van Hus. The latest details on the march toward a one-world system will be revealed, biblical mysteries will be uncovered, and you'll learn how to have true spiritual victory in the invisible war on the saints. Biblical artifacts from Israel will be on display, with an archaeologist there ready to answer your questions. Friday and Saturday, March 8th and 9th, at Antioch Baptist Church in Bristol, Virginia. Call 1-800-652-1144 or visit the events page at our website, swrc.com. Tickets for this special event are free, but seating is limited. Don't be left behind. Register today. 1-800-652-1144. Clayton Van Hus had the opportunity to sit down and visit with author and speaker Mac Dominic to discuss how you and I can survive the world today with all the chaos that is around us.
Thank you very much. I am your host today, Clayton Van Hus, and I am joined here by Mac Dominic. Now, he is a researcher who likes to study and talk about, present, you write, do videos on some of the important mysteries of the Bible, Old and New Testament, correct?
Yes, that is correct. I'm a bit of an Old Testament junkie, but we certainly have to bear in mind that the Old Testament leads us right to the New Testament.
Exactly, and I'm with you there. I love studying the Old Testament and then looking in the New Testament and seeing what we find. So starting off here, tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you into the studies that you're doing.
Okay. I'll try to be as brief as possible with answering that question, but the way it happened was when I was 40 years old, which was a number of years ago in 1990, we had a missionary staying at our house and using it as a base for raising deputation. He was a missionary to Child Evangelism Fellowship, and he was reading a book by Johanna Michelson by the name of Like Lambs to the Slaughter. And he left the book laying around the house the 3 weeks that they were there, and I just picked it up and started reading it. And I was blown away by what I read, because Like Lambs to the Slaughter was a book about the effect of the New Age movement on our children, specifically how it was being taught in schools and such as that. And what really blew me away was not so much the content of the book, but in the back of the book, Ms. Michelson had appendixes where she gave the straight beliefs of the New Agers. And I had been a Bible prophecy buff for all of my Christian life. And I started understanding that what these New Agers were saying was exactly what the Bible said, only it was approaching it from the view of Satan. And that blew me away. And I was like, whoa, I can't believe that I didn't understand this. I've never seen this before. At the time, I was teaching an adult Sunday school class, which I still do. And I decided, man, I bet none of the people in my class know anything about this either. And so I did a two-week program on the New Age movement. After the first week, members of my class started coming to me and said, Mac, you know, they are teaching this to our kids in school. We didn't know what it was, but what you described is exactly what they're teaching our children. And that blew me away again. And I can remember sitting in church before the worship service the next, at that same day between Sunday school and church, and thinking and praying, Lord, if they didn't know this, if this is here in South Carolina, I've only thought it happened in places like New York or California or places where they were more liberal than the Bible Belt. And I just couldn't believe they were getting it in our schools in South Carolina. And so I said, Lord, somebody's got to tell them. People have got to understand this. And I didn't get an audible voice or an angel appearing to me from heaven or anything like that. But the Lord seemed to say to me, yes, and you're going to do it. And at that point, I was never so driven to do anything in my life as I was to get that message out. And when you get into the New Age movement, that leads you to studying the New World Order. That leads you to studying all kinds of things, mythology, demonology, all sorts of things that you never even thought about studying before. And so you become a jack of all trades and master of none.
Exactly. And you talk about the New Age. And this is not a new thing. In my studies, as an archaeologist, one of the things I study are the gods of Canaan, which means I also study the gods of Mesopotamia and the gods of just all over the ancient Near East and the mythologies there. And all of this in the New Age is nothing new. This has been around.
It's the same story. It's the same story you get in archaeology of the gods and goddesses. And what we have to realize is that mythology over the years has turned into something that we see as fairy tales. As a matter of fact, modern people have this mindset about the people that were the inhabitants in Mesopotamia, the land of Canaan, as adults who carried on conversations with their imaginary friends. But these people were intelligent, empire builders, yep, fantastic stonemasons, and all of the skills that they had with the technology that was available to them. They were extremely intelligent people. They did not communicate with their imaginary friends. These gods and these entities were real. They are real. They're still real. And we have taken it and turned it into a fairy tale. And that's one of the real issues we have in our world today, is we cannot recognize evil because we have no point of reference.
Well, we really haven't changed that much as human beings. We still cling to the old ways, and there's neo-paganism. There are people today who will come out, and it's amazing. In my research, you know, you read, on the one hand, you read scholarly papers and that sort of thing. You find research. Then you go on YouTube when you're feeling like, it's time to eat supper. Go on YouTube, watch some videos about this. And it is amazing how many people there are out there who are like, okay, if you want to worship Ishtar, this is what you do. And they are practicing the worship of the ancients. Now they're not, you know, probably not doing it very well, but it's alive. It's happening.
Oh, absolutely. And most people don't call it that, but there are people, a lot of people that are pagan and neo-pagan. As a matter of fact, I was on Facebook the other day, and I'm in the group of my neighborhood, and there was a lady in my very neighborhood asking if anyone in the neighborhood knew of any good contacts she could make with other pagans. So this is everywhere, and paganism has made a comeback really in the last 20 or 30 years. And neo-paganism is very, very real. And people, they call themselves Wiccans, they call themselves pagans, they call themselves a lot of things. But the worship of the old gods is still out there, even though I would say the majority of people look at it as just a fairy tale.
Sure. And a thing that I find interesting is that people who do believe, and they believe in the old gods, and they'll even admit that they believe that the god Yahweh is real, and they will still choose to worship the loser gods. And I say that not as an insult, but I say that because their gods have lost already.
Well, yes, they have lost. The Lord Jesus Christ defeated them on the cross. And that's what we have to realize, that these gods, you know, with the Marvel movies and the Avengers and all of that kind of thing that my grandchildren watch.
Yeah.
You know, and even in our generation, and I'm an old codger, but even in my generation, Hercules mm-hmm. was some great guy. Thor yeah. is the thunder god of thunder. He's a great guy. He was wonderful. And you know, Thor basically is a Nordic version of Zeus. And we know that Zeus came from the god Baal, and Jesus himself said Baal was Satan.
Right.
So we see this path through these gods. And so we in our culture today have made heroes out of satanic entities.
We have. And I'll admit, you know, I enjoy a good superhero movie or an adventure movie.
Of course.
But even just on the surface, these things that are in our society, they do help to normalize the supernatural, the paranormal, the things where occultism can creep in through these avenues. What do you see? Okay, so I remember, you know, Lambs to the Slaughter. I remember back in the 90s how New Age was like scary. I remember back in the 80s, He-Man and all that stuff. They were like, don't do that, don't do that. What have you seen since those days? Has society and the church as part of society, has it gotten better in this area or have we slid deeper into it?
It's gone underground and it's gone more of a clandestine type of work. You know, the New Age movement got a really bad rap in the 1990s, and rightfully so. And that's not a good choice of words.
Sure.
The New Age movement was highly criticized, especially among people in the church that knew about it, like myself. It got really criticized, and all of a sudden you saw it kind of disappearing from the scene. But it's very similar to, and this is a little bit off subject, so please forgive me.
Sure.
But it's very similar to what we saw in the 1960s for those of us that were alive during the hippie culture and during the rise of the Woodstock generation, the anti-establishment that was strung out on hallucinogens and those things. Those people, we thought that we defeated that movement in the 1970s. We didn't defeat that movement.
No.
It went underground. Those people who were the college students, who were the followers of Timothy Leary, who were into drugs, were into all the anti-everything movement, they became professors. They became politicians. They went into the media. Because they were determined to influence their generation and the next generation in the direction that they wanted to go. They found that direct frontal assault did not really work. So they went into a more clandestine type of approach, the piecemeal functionalism approach, piece by piece, erode what they didn't believe in and what they didn't approve of. But the interesting thing is, and what we have to understand, is that the primary way of accessing demonic influence is transcendental meditation, hypnosis, and hallucinogenic drugs. Those are the three prime ways to access the spirit world, the evil spirit world. I'm not talking about God and we do that through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. But those are the three methods by which people would access the demonic world. And what happened? We had all of these demonic philosophies that became embedded in college universities, in the media, and in politics, and it went under the radar, so to speak, in the 70s. And even in the 80s and in the 90s, it popped back up as a New Age movement, but then it settled back down. But now what we're seeing is the second generation of people that were taught these philosophies in our colleges and universities, and even K-12 have been completely indoctrinated in satanic, demonic, occultic, whatever you want to call it, philosophy. And that's what we're fighting with the younger generation, with the vast numbers that are following all these crazy ideas in our society. It came from the 1960s and the occult influence primarily of drugs. Because, you know, at one time, LSD was perfectly legal.
Right.
And I mean, and other drugs were perfectly legal. And so all of this had a much larger, broader scale impact on our society than we realized, because the people that were influencing the next generation and the following generation were preaching those philosophies, and now we're seeing the end result. The New Age movement just goes right hand in hand with that, because New Age philosophies of meditating and contacting your spirit guides and all of those things, those things are still going on, and probably even more than they were before, but it's just not as pronounced in the public realm.
Right. We are visiting with Mac Dominic, researcher, speaker, author, presenter. Okay, so you can find his resources on swrc.com. Let me throw that in there.
There you go.
Mac, let me ask you a question, and I hope I'm not begging the question or leading. You let me know, but you've touched on a thing, and maybe I'm jumping ahead. You've touched on a thing, and I want to know. I see in everything you're saying a spirit of rebellion that no matter what form it takes, you know, neo-paganism, intellectualism, you know, New Age, whatever we want to call it, that's what I'm seeing. Do you see an underlying spirit of rebellion, and where is it coming from and where is it going?
Well, the spirit of rebellion has been with us since the Garden of Eden. Let's just put a point on it. Whether it's the fall of Satan, Satan rebelled, and we see that in Genesis chapter 3. Eve, when she took the fruit and gave it to Adam, and he deliberately rebelled against God, we saw that. Then in Genesis 6, we see the rebellion of the angels that descended to Mount Hermon and engendered this race of hybrid beings, the Nephilim. And then at the Tower of Babel, we see the rebellion of the Tower of Babel. And if you do the study and you do the research, you find out really quick that the ancient people, whether they were pagans in Mesopotamia or whether they were Jewish, but realized exactly what was going on. The Jewish people, the Jewish religious people in ancient times, the ancient Jews, saw these three things as the three things that brought mankind to where they were. And so at the Tower of Babel, God turned over the nations to the sons of God, who allowed themselves to be worshipped as gods and corrupted the nations. But the good news is that God chose Abraham to have a people of his own, to spread the good news that would bring forth the Messiah that would reverse all those three rebellions. So this spirit of rebellion, whether we see it in the 1960s or whether we see it in 2023, all of that came from the accounts we see in Genesis 1 through 11. And the problem is in the church, the people of the church have not been taught this. They don't recognize it. They don't know where it's coming from. They don't know what's hit them, because they haven't been paying attention. Because, you know, just for example, a very notable preacher, I won't call his name, he's one I don't approve of, so I won't be ugly, but sure, a very notable preacher in Atlanta, Georgia, came out and said, "We don't study the Old Testament because it's not important. We want to concentrate on the New Testament and the gospel." And so they lose all concept of what's happening. And you mentioned the gods and goddesses of Mesopotamia. We look at this thing of transgenderism for an example. Why don't Christians understand how wrong and evil this is? Because they don't understand that the first transgender that we know of from history was Inanna in Mesopotamia and Ishtar in Babylon. I believe I've got that right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Ishtar and Inanna were transgenders. They were male and female. They were great warriors, but yet they were the sexiest things around, and they could appear as a man or a woman. And if you really want to know what's going on in our culture today, all you have to do is look back at this ancient goddess and say, this is the spirit that is dominating in that part of the culture.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny you bring her up and you bring up her ways. She was continued to be worshipped in Canaan. They called her Astarte.
Yep.
The Israelites called her Ashtoreth.
Yep.
She would go on to become Aphrodite, Venus. Exactly.
Yes.
But I'm actually dealing with her material culture right now in a form of Israelite religion. In their sacrifices, we are finding symbols of Ashtoreth. They're actually Canaanite, so they would be Astarte.
Yeah,
but we are finding her. So she has been around, not just in Mesopotamia,
no.
But she was involved in the Bible warns, do not worship the Queen of Heaven, which is
That's
her.
Right. That's
and
her.
Yet they're doing it. I think we have this idea that the ancients, or that the Israelites, they were always worshiping God and doing right. That's exactly what the Bible tells us they weren't doing.
That's why they ended up in Babylon.
Exactly. And so we see her today in our society manifesting, I think bigger than so many of the others. She's
huge. Absolutely. And even some of the Bible teachers and researchers are saying, oh, the old gods and goddesses are coming back. They aren't coming back. They've never gone anywhere.
No.
They have never gone anywhere. And the world is still controlled by these 70 or 72. We don't know which it is.
Right. Different manuscripts.
Yeah, right. Whether it's the Masoretic or the Septuagint. It's the 70 or 72 sons of God over the nations. They're still over the nations. And even though they have been defeated by Jesus, they have still been given the power to do what they do. But now we read in Psalm 82 that their day is coming and God is going to give them what is due to them at Armageddon.
That's right. Let's spend just a few minutes left. Let's talk about the hope. We've seen the darkness and that it's been since the beginning of man. Since we got off the ark, we're building structures to them. What is our hope?
Well, our hope is in Jesus. What else can I? Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid. Well, first, let's back up a minute. Jesus Christ became man. God became man. God incarnate became man. He went to his people, the people of Israel, to set up his kingdom and defeat all of these gods and goddesses. But Israel rejected him. And of course, God is all knowing, so he knew that that was going to happen. So Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the price for all sins of mankind, descended into the lower parts of the earth, preached to the spirits in prison and told them, I win, you lose. Hey, I'm leaving. You guys got to stay here. And he took with him the Old Testament saints whose sins were now washed away by his blood back to the presence of the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father as our high priest and advocate, and he is going to come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A lot of people think that he's king now. He's not king now. He's the high priest. And we are not building the kingdom of God. We're not advancing the kingdom of God. We are in training to be co-rulers with Christ in his kingdom, which he will set up when he comes and rule and reign for 1,000 years on earth and then for eternity in the new heaven and the new earth.
And that's excellent. And what a hope we have. What do you say to maybe an unbeliever in Christ who is listening to us, who says, I want this. I want a part of this. I want to follow Christ. With our last bit of time, what would you say?
I would say, look at what Jesus did for you. Look at your life personally. Look at the fact that you are a sinner, just like I am a sinner. We have no hope. We are undone. We're at the mercy of the ancient gods, but Jesus made a way for you and I to participate, not only here on earth to spread the good news, but as I said, we're in training to rule and reign with him when he sets up his kingdom.
Excellent. What a hope. What a happy, you know, and that's the thing is we see so much darkness in the world, yet we have the light of Jesus Christ, and to put our faith in him, to trust in him, And he's going to come out victorious.
Absolutely.
The end of the book has been written.
That's right.
And we know who he is. He's the morning star. He is the one.
We know how it's all going to end.
That's great. So we've been speaking with Mac Dominic here today. Go to swrc.com to look for some of his resources. You can find books, DVDs. He is an excellent teacher. He is a researcher, a man who does his due diligence. And we just want to thank you, Mac, for being here with us.
Always my pleasure.
Great. And thank you so much for listening.
The conversation we've been listening to between Clayton Van Hus and Mac Dominic was recorded during our prophecy conference in Columbus, Ohio last October. Now available for the first time, the entire Columbus, Ohio Prophecy Conference. All 12 speakers, 20 total presentations, one complete DVD set. Topics include secret societies, invisible war on the saints, Jewish roots of Christianity, the earth as it was, unveiling the Antichrist, a one world update, and much, much more. And included in the complete set is Jonathan Kahn's presentation on the Josiah Manifesto. Order the complete Columbus Conference DVD set today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order at our website, swrc.com. Friends, if you have a prayer need, would you let us pray for you? We consider it an honor to pray with you. Prayer requests come in from all over the country through the mail, on the phone, and now through a special email address, prayer@swrc.com. That's prayer@swrc.com. Or you can always just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Dr. Kenneth Hill will examine the modern-day move by some to replace Israel with the church. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by downloading our SWRC mobile app, or you can simply subscribe to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.